House Committee on Judiciary coming to order. Today is Tuesday, May 10th, 2011. Council?
Chairs and members of the committee, the only item on today's agenda is a hearing for Senate Bill 405A, which allows the State Board of Higher Education to authorize university under its control to establish a police department and employ police officers. It permits such department and officers to enforce the board's or university's administrative rules and policies in addition to criminal laws, requires the university and police department to establish a process to address policing grievances, permits the board to make agreement or to authorize the university to make agreement with other entities for mutual aid, declares an emergency and is effective on passage.
Okay, thank you. Open a public hearing on Senate Bill 405A. Senator Prozonsky, Francis Dyke, and Doug Tripp, please.
Good afternoon, co-chairs Floyd Prozonsky, State Senator District 4, representing parts of Lane and Douglas counties. I want to thank the co-chairs and the committee for taking up Senate Bill 405 today. As council has stated, this would authorize the State Board of Higher Education to authorize universities within its control and system to establish full-fledged police departments and employ police officers. The reason I'm here today is because I've been working with the University of Oregon, I would say at least 6 years, where they have had request and, let's say, desire to go forward with a full-fledged police department. Over the years, I have, let's say, worked with them and expressed my concerns as to them being ready to go forward, having the understanding of what it fully means to be having a full-fledged police department. And I'm happy to report today, as I learned over this past summer, that I believe that the University of Oregon has reached that threshold that is necessary to actually have the commitment and the understanding of the responsibilities of having a full-fledged police department. There are some things that have changed over the last year or so that you'll be hearing from various individuals that will be testifying on behalf of Senate Bill 405. I would ask you to listen closely to the Chief of Police from the City of Eugene. Pete Kearns is here, someone I've worked with for many, many years. I've known him from the days I cut my teeth as a junior prosecutor for the City of Eugene, as well as in the District Attorney's Office. And they will talk to you as to some of the issues that they have seen as to the call intake that the EPD takes, the prior arrangement that they used to have with the University of Oregon, and I say used to have because it's no longer in existence, where they actually provide a contract, full-fledged law enforcement detail with a unit being there at the university that is no longer possible and practical under their needs. Because of that and because of some of the other information that you'll be hearing today, it is with my strong support that I move forward in advance Senate Bill 405 through the Senate, and I'm asking you to do the same. I think it's important to put on the record a few things that in our discussions that have been very important to me as to showing and understanding how far the university has gone over these last 2 to 3, if not 4 years, of their support of moving forward with their desire to actually have a full-fledged police department. I would encourage any of the members on this committee, this as I did with my committee, if you have any desire to see what they have done at the university, how they have started preparing to actually make the transition, I would ask that you consider talking to the chief, Doug Tripp, to my right, about going through this process. What I've asked them to do today is provide me with the Department of Public Safety's organizational chart to just kind of reflect how they've set up and established, and it's a one that you would expect any police department to have, showing the lines of authority as to who will be in those positions, and as you will hear from the chief, the actual personnel that makes up these positions. We have a retired FBI agent. We have an individual who's with EPD in the executive branch of the department, who's now associated with and affiliated with the Department of Public Safety, and they will be part of the key with many other individuals that the chief will be able to go over with you in greater detail to actually show and demonstrate how they have the personnel to actually make this transition and have a have a department that we can all be proud of. One of my concerns through this process is making certain that if you are going to give a department or a university the authority to have a complete, full-fledged police department, that they understand and that everyone understands that they will be a full-fledged department. The officers will be certified through DPSST. They will get all the complete training. They will have all the tools that are necessary for a police officer to actually operate and do their job, and that they will have their responsibilities as well. Because of the scenario that we have and the situation that this would be a department that would be within the university structure, one of the things I thought was very important to have, and the bill does include, is that there's a means of oversight or review that can actually take place that would actually engage the community, and that community includes students, faculty, staff, as well as the community at large. It's my understanding and belief that what you'll see is mutual assist agreements that will be reached between the university as well as the various law enforcement agencies that do serve in the area where the University of Oregon is located, including the municipal police departments, the sheriff's office, and more than likely with the state police as well. And this will be a one that the officers will have all of the, let's say, benefits of being a full-fledged police officer and within a department. And so we will expect them to be accommodating as well. The issues that I will put on the record for you, during the floor debate, there was some question as to the authority, the process that the bill calls for it now, is one that is actually has been used by this legislature when OHSU established their facility. We gave it to their board of directors and their to actually be the oversight. That is how this bill was drafted for your consideration. I've asked the university to provide me with information. I can report to you that when you look at the other Pac-12 schools within this conference, the vast majority of them actually granted authority to those schools that have campus police through the through their higher ed boards. Now, it is interesting when you look at the Pac-12, of all of the schools that are there, I believe the only ones that do not have full-fledged police departments are the ones in the state of Oregon. Both University of Oregon as well as the Oregon State University do not have full-fledged departments, where when you look at the rest of the schools, that whether they're public or private, they do in fact have full-fledged police departments. I can tell you from my days of undergrad, I went to a school, Texas A&M, that did have a full-fledged department, and I can tell you that on numerous occasions it was very important for my time living on campus, having a department that could respond immediately to situations that actually occurred there on campus. And I believe, based on the call intake that the city of Eugene is now trying to handle, knowing that we have somewhere between, I'm guesstimating, 30,000 people on campus at any given time during the campus when it's open for school, that we need to be able to have public safety that can actually be there to respond as quickly as possible and not be in a general call out for calls of services through the Eugene Police Department. Not that they have not done a good job. They have done a very admirable job. But at the same time, when you look at the amount of resources that need to be expended to actually service just the university alone, let alone the city of Eugene, it's time for the university, let's say, be a good partner. And I think this is one way that they can do it. This authority will, in fact, allow them to actually help with off-campus areas near and around, surrounding the university, to actually be able to be a responding to situations, many of those that are tailored toward students in the student and the campus population. The other part I will leave you with is why I believe that we know that there's other models in the state that have been used. I actually thought at one point that maybe a different model would be more appropriate, but I've come to the conclusion that when you have a population that needs to be served, which is the university, it is better to have a department that can actually relate and be part of that environment as compared to expecting other individuals who've been trained and disciplined in other communities to be able to integrate into that population. And that is one of the other benefits I think that you see. I will say this once again, because I know there are some students that you may hear from today that have some concerns and reservations in my dealings over the years, and I've spoken to different leaders within the students. They have varied as to support being neutral or being in opposition. But what I have heard from all of them is that they would prefer, at least from my interpretation, someone that can relate to them in the campus setting as compared to having such as someone such as a model of the state police, which is the model that OSU has determined to use for their campus. So with that, I'm going to turn over to Francis Dyke, who is the Vice President of Finance and Administration with the University of Oregon, and also Doug Tripp, who is currently the Executive Director / Chief of the Public Safety Department for the University of Oregon.
Okay.
Senator, if you need to leave, we know you're busy.
I have until 1:30, so I'll stand by until then.
Thank you. Please.
Okay, thank you. For the record, my name is Frances Dyke. I'm the Vice President for Finance and Administration for the University of Oregon. I speak on behalf of the entire executive leadership of the University of Oregon. Also should note that public safety is one of my direct reports. I'd also like to thank co-chairs Barker and Krieger and members of this committee for hearing Senate Bill 405. And we'd also like to acknowledge Senator Prozanski's long leadership, guidance, and mentorship on this issue. As he's pointed out, he's worked many years on this. This piece of legislation was approved by the State Board of Higher Education at its March 2010 meeting. Prior to that and since then, the two leaders on campus of the task force working closely with Prozanski have been Executive Director and Chief of Police Doug Tripp and Assistant Vice President of Administration Brian Smith. Senator Prozanski has already noted the amendment to the original bill regarding accountability and oversight. Everyone believes that this is absolutely critical to a well-functioning and accountable police department. Because of the many improvements already made for greater professionalization, for safe campus initiatives and community policing, the incremental biennial costs for implementation are relatively minimal. The fiscal impact is approximately $66,000, $67,000 per biennium in the first 2 years and $55,000 for the biennium of the second 2 years. This is a small amount of increase in our funding to significantly raise the quality of public safety services for over 30,000 faculty, staff, and students, for the protection of 295 acres of land and well over $2 billion of infrastructure. We are indeed a small city, comparable in size to Grants Pass. This legislation benefits our university, but it benefits every university in the system by allowing the State Board and the presidents of those institutions to tailor public safety services to the unique needs of the campus community. At this time, we expect only the U of O will be implementing Senate Bill 405. We have a 6-year plan to transition a number of staff from the status of special security officers to police officers. The university police will also have the authority to issue citations. Revenues received from those citations will be deposited into the general fund of the university and will be centrally managed with well-established budgeting practices that we normally follow to allocate revenues to campus units. We have actively consulted constituents. We have performed significant outreach over the past year. These conversations started, in fact, in May of 2010. To date, we have held 4 campus-wide events, had 2 appearances at the University Senate. We've had 10 sessions with neighborhood association members. We've engaged in dialogue with students, with parents, and particularly with students who live in the residence hall on campus. We firmly believe that our community will be better served by enforcement protection targeted to its needs. Last year, the Department of Public Safety responded to an average of 184 incidents per month of suspicious person activity. made 48 warrant arrests, and in December 2010 alone contacted 10 registered sex offenders on campus property. 87% of our misdemeanor citations are to non-students. Our concern is protecting the safety of our community, not particularly with the behavior of the members of that community. This campus police department, if it's approved, could focus on issues important to our community that can't possibly be a priority for EPD given its charge and budget. Of particular importance are theft of such things as bicycles and computer, which can significantly impact learning, research, teaching for anybody on campus. Currently, UODPS can detain suspects, but we must rely on EPD for transport. This can create a period of uncertainty and difficulty for the officers and safety. If the U of O ever has another armed suspect on campus and we do not have this legislation and the authority to move forward, we would wait for EPD to respond. I remind you of the incident in 1984 where we did have an active shooter on campus and an individual was killed. So it can happen here. A few quick facts. We believe that the law enforcement services should be accountable to the community it serves, that it should be protected by high-quality individuals focused on the mission of that community. Senator Prezansky has already talked to you about the Pac-12, but you should note that overall, 98% of public universities of our size have their own police departments. And 32 out of the 33 major research universities, public major research universities in the American Association of Universities, maintain their own police department. Executive Director Tripp will provide information on the history and the status of current authorities, give you some additional background on UODPS. I am happy at the co-chair's discretion to respond to questions now or to wait until after Executive Director Tripp's presentation.
We will go to directness.
Thank you.
Director Tripp, please.
Okay. Thank you, co-chairs Barker and Krieger and members of the committee. My name for the record is Doug Tripp, and I am the Executive Director for the University of Oregon's Department of Public Safety. I appreciate the opportunity that you're providing for me to speak on behalf of Senate Bill 405. Today, as Vice President Dyke indicated, I will be sharing some information regarding our current authorities and some of the limitations around those authorities, as well as the University of Oregon's efforts over the last several years to professionalize its public safety department and talk a little bit about the benefits of campus police. Our current authority is guided under ORS 352-385, which was enacted in 1987. It provides us with quasi or limited police powers. There's a designation of special campus security officer, as indicated in the statute, and we are allowed to make probable cause arrest under the initial statute. In subsequent revision of the statute in 1995, we were also able to make stop and frisk as part of our responsibility. The statute currently limits the number of security officers that each campus can have to 50, and it prohibits the arming of these officers as police officers. We're also given certain immunities and also provided access to the law enforcement data system for NCIC checks and et cetera. There's a number of limitations that we face as we try to police our campus with these limited authorities. The first and probably the most important is that our special campus security officers are not police officers, they're not peace officers, and by statute are not considered public safety officers. In addition, the Public Safety Department is not a law enforcement unit. Everything that flows in terms of benefits to police officers relative to training, resources, and authorities flow from those two definitions. Our officers are not granted access to the basic police academy. We are not mandated to have certification for our officers. We have no standards for selection by statute. We have limited immunities. And there are no enhanced penalties when our officers are assaulted on the job by offenders. The other issues surrounding probable cause are really widespread for us. Typically, when we make a probable cause arrest, other law enforcement agencies don't accept our probable cause. They don't treat it as if it's portable. That requires the responding agency to reinvestigate the crime and make a determination on action moving forward, even though the statute states that we have probable cause arrest authority. Officers may not cite offenders for state charges, nor may they cite in lieu of custody. Again, we need to wait for a law enforcement agency, police agency, to respond look at our probable cause, and determine the next steps. Lane County District Attorneys will not accept our probable cause directly. Again, we must go through the Eugene Police Department on all investigative matters before they're entered into the District Attorney's Office for potential prosecution. Our officers are also restricted to where they can act. They're restricted to university-owned or controlled property. It sounds idyllic that that's how we might want to control their behavior and look at the campus as a singular entity. But as many of you know, if you've been on the University of Oregon campus, we're interlaced with municipal environment throughout the campus, and our officers are often making arrests on individuals who flee, and they are not allowed to pursue them, nor are they allowed to enforce any type of law off university property, even though it may be contiguous to those properties. Our officers are not trained to the standard of a police officer, yet are given limited police powers, placed in a uniform, and asked to make arrests of potentially dangerous individuals. You heard from Francis Dyke the number of warrant arrests that we had last year. Many of these are violent felony offenders. They're being stopped for rather innocuous types of acts, such as canning or sleeping and camping on campus. And the officers make those contacts, have no idea who they're making contact with until it's too late and they find out they've got a problem on their hands. Our officers are also not required to make mandatory APA arrests in the case of domestic violence. We have large housing facilities on campus, and domestic violence, unfortunately, is a fact of life on university campuses. And we cannot take action without another police agency on site to support our actions. Despite all of these limitations, our officers are fundamentally performing police work without the benefit of full police authority, training, and protections. It's a dangerous mandate currently that we play in. And the University of Oregon has, in the recent past, had officers who've nearly lost their lives performing their task. Recognizing the risk associated with operating in this environment, the University of Oregon began to professionalize its public safety department. Previous to 2007, we had contracted for police services with the Eugene Police Department for nearly 40 years. Our relationship with the Eugene Police Department is very special. This contract essentially provided the University of Oregon priority response for police services and provided a limited on-site presence from a small police detail that supported UODPS public safety operations. In 2009, the UO reduced the police contract from 3.75 officers to 1.0. But I want to emphasize the 3.75 officers that we had for many years. That is not 24/7 coverage by police on campus. At the same time, the University of Oregon's Public Safety Department was evolving as we were reducing the police contract, and it was becoming more capable and far more professional than it ever had been before. In 2010, the University of Oregon terminated the contract with the Eugene Police Department, making a commitment to align its campus safety programming with national best practices. As you've heard again from Vice President Dyke, 98% of all public universities of our size or larger in the nation maintain their own police departments. In preparation for this transition, the UO made the following commitments. We were allowed to reinvest funds from the EPD contract into the Department of Public Safety to build a community-oriented policing model. We were also allowed to enhance the quality of personnel at the leadership and line levels. Every single one of our leaders has attended a basic police academy, and they have worked in various areas in law enforcement and other public safety roles. We also enhanced our infrastructure to support greater law enforcement activities. We've gained access to the regional computer-aided dispatch program that were part of the LRIG interface on the radio systems for interoperability. We've also enhanced ourselves by adding equipment and technologies that support our campus safety efforts, and we've increased our standards and training. All of our officers, even though they're not allowed to go to the DPSST, Basic Police Academy, are now enrolled in the Lane County Sheriff's Officer Regional Reserve Police Officer Academy to ensure that our officers are properly trained for the jobs they are faced with on a day-to-day basis. They take over 300 hours of police training over a six-month period before they graduate from the academy. We currently have, I believe, four officers in the academy. We also invested in a lieutenant for professional standards and training to ensure that our standards and our training criteria met the highest level of expectations. Despite these and other efforts, the absence of full police powers continue to hamper the University of Oregon's efforts to modernize its public safety agency and ensure capabilities to protect the campus community. We've taken some additional steps to try to increase the authorities of our officers, and one of those has been to work with the City of Eugene in creating Eugene Code 4.035. It was enacted in 2005, which allowed our officers to write municipal citations for certain violations under the municipal code. In 2009, with the support of the City of Eugene and with the support of the City of Eugene's Police Department, we went back to City Council and asked for permission to also write citations for certain misdemeanor crimes, which was granted. In 2010, we went back to City Council, again with the support of the City and with the support of the Eugene Police Department, to modify EC 4035 to allow us to use our probable cause arrest authority to investigate crimes and issue citations after the fact. The previous version in 2009 did not allow that. We had to witness the act. Once again, as we were going through this process, we realized that the only true solution was to seek full police powers for our Department of Public Safety. To that end, we engaged in conversations with Senator Przanski and discussed the benefits of having police on campus and demonstrated the efforts that the University of Oregon has made over the last 3 years to move us closer to the police model that we hope to have in the future. In addition, we worked with the Higher Ed Board and the Oregon University system in the same vein to build support and an understanding of the situation. There are many benefits to campus policing. Probably one of the most important aspects is it allows us to customize police services for a very unique campus community. It allows us to increase culturally aligned and competent personnel that understand the dynamic in working with faculty, students, and staff on a campus. It also builds accountability for police services in the campus community. When an external agency provides campuses with police services, that level of accountability is dispersed over citywide or other responsibilities. By having a campus police agency, the accountability squarely fits on the shoulders of the campus police and the administration that guides them. It also gives us the ability to direct police activities based on campus practices and priorities. Single point of police services for the campus community is also essential. It eliminates confusion over public safety's authority. It eliminates this duplication of service where we make arrest and then have to have the police come and redo the work that our officers have done. It reduces response times for critical incidents, basic services, as well as non-law enforcement services as well. And overall, by having your own police department, it improves police response to critical incidents. As we all know, over the last several years, and certainly since 1987 when 352, 385 was enacted, the world has changed on campuses, and the risks are far higher. Also, having police on campus ensures that our police officers can access the basic police academy and other police training, preparing them for the rigors of their job. It also puts us in a position where our officers would be certified. Currently, as I mentioned, our officers are not certified. They meet no state standards for their actions. By being police and going through the basic police academy and completing FTEP through their certification process, they have to meet certain standards. Also, by having our own police, it enhances campus safety and increases the safety for our officers. It also allows us to be true partners with our campus, our police agencies within our community. We can train together. We can plan for critical incident response together. We can share services to reduce cost across the spectrum. We can operate on joint operations and utilize mutual aid. One of the biggest challenge points for the City of Eugene and the University of Oregon is the fringe campus area. As I had mentioned, our officers are not able to engage off campus. That limits our ability to assist with fringe campus behaviors and quality of life issues that are occurring that challenge the community at large. Also, establishing alignment with best practices in higher education is our ultimate goal. We believe that there are police agencies at 98% of all public institutions for a reason, and that's the unique nature of the campus community. And finally, access to critical information intelligence is critical. We host major national events on campus, and we are rarely at the table when that type of information is shared because we are not police. Not because the police don't want us there, but they have an obligation to protect that information. At the chair's discretion, I would be happy to respond to questions at the end of this presentation, and I want to thank you for the opportunity to share my thoughts with you in terms of SB 405.
Representative Chauvin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thanks for your presentation. Would these new police officers, would they carry firearms?
This is a two-step process. The first part is this piece of legislation that it would allow us to go to the State Board of Higher Education for, to request authority to be a police department within the University of Oregon. The board itself and the president has endorsed that then there is a separate request to go forward to request arming the officers. I understand that Richard will want, the President LaRiviere will want to do further campus conversation before that second step is taken.
Follow-up. To whom would that presentation and request be made? To carry firearms?
I can't give you an answer on the timing. I would anticipate that the President will go forward with the original request to be able to start creating the police agency on campus.
I'm sorry. Maybe my question was not very clear. To whom would that request be made?
Oh, that would go to the State Board of Higher Education.
Okay. Another follow-up. Thanks. So I was surprised at the amount of additional cost of $66,000. I would think that it's unclear to me how it would be such a small amount of money required to do this, because you've got quite a few officers. They would have to go through a lot of training through DP, SST. So how do you relate that to the $66,000?
Sure. I'll have the chief answer the questions on the particular training issues. But we have invested heavily in the Office of Public Safety over the past 4 years and have built those programs that are critical to a public safety department on campus. They are advantageous to us going forward. So we have made hiring decisions. We have made training decisions. We have had approval from three provosts and two presidents now to invest those money into a safer campus. So some of the costs you might expect.
I think I'm not being very clear. So you have quite a few officers, and they would have to go through the DPSST training, and that's extensive and it's expensive. So it seems to me the $66,000 would not cover that full training. So that's what I'm trying to understand.
Yeah. I think I might be able to assist you with this. The department would create a bifurcated system where we would have security officers and police officers. We're looking at 35 total positions right now. Of those 35, approximately 26 of those positions would be police officer positions, and 9 would be lower paid security officer positions. There's a tremendous cost savings in reducing campus public safety officers to entry-level security officers, which helps offset those costs. In addition, we've reinvested approximately just under $500,000 of the Eugene Police Department contract into the department to assist us with that transition. DPSST training is granted to us if we were a law enforcement unit without cost directly to the agency. So we would not bear those costs. In discussions, it's clear that our six-year transition plan would at the most bring in 4 recruits to the DPSST Academy on an annual basis, having very little impact on them financially. In addition, many of our officers still retain their certification from prior employment. So if we can get them in within the time frame, all they have to do is go back to the 2-week refresher course.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Schaffler.
Thank you. If they're going to be cops, I think they should have a gun because they're dealing with some bad people. But when I showed up at the University of Iowa fall of 1982, they had campus police. Why has it taken so long? And Senator Pruzanski said, when Texas, they had, why has it taken so long here? Why are we last in the Pac-12? And I don't need a long, drawn-out question. There's a lot of people want to talk, but the questions beg to be asked. So you got a 30-second one. Take less time than I've taken to ask this question.
I can make a comment if you'd like. There's only 3 states that don't allow campus police: Idaho, Hawaii, and Oregon. But Oregon's really not one of those any longer after SB 658 passed into law and allowing OHSU to create a police department. I think it's taken so long because of the general climate within the community regarding police. You'll hear testimony that Oregon is at one of the lowest ratios in terms of police to citizens nationally, and in Eugene in particular, we're one of the lowest in the state. So I think there's a standard that's been established over time, and there's a lack of emphasis on policing in general in the state.
Just a quick follow-up. My little girl will probably go to Oregon in a year and a half, and I want campus police there taking care of her. So I think this is a great bill. And I think they should have guns because they're going to be dealing with bad guys.
Thank you. Representative Wong.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. When the Eugene police officers come on to the U of O campus, do they have to check their guns at the border or do they get to carry them with them?
No, they're police officers. They carry their guns wherever they go on duty.
And then one follow-up.
Follow-up, please.
And it's been a while. I don't go to the U of O very often. I spend a lot more time at OSU, but for good reasons. But correct my memory. There are no walls around the campus with metal detectors to guard every single person that goes on the U of O campus or comes off. Is that, am I correct in my recollection?
That is absolutely correct.
Thank you, Mr. Coacher.
Thank you. Any further questions? Do you have a question?
No, thanks.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm going to call the next panel, and we have 2.5 pages of people signed up to testify in this. I'm going to ask in the future that you try to keep your comments around 3 to 5 minutes, but I want you to be heard. If you have to go a little longer, you can. And that if you have written testimony, summarize it. You don't need to read it to us because we will read it. Next, I'll call Pete Kearns, Alex Kyler, and Kevin Campbell, please.
Co-Chairs Barker and Co-Chair Krieger, as you're walking out of the room, and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Kevin Campbell. I'm the Executive Director of the Oregon Association Chiefs of Police. We're here today to speak in favor of Senate Bill 405. I'll be very succinct. I do have written testimony. I want to let you know that we began the process of discussion with the University of Oregon regarding this bill with concerns, and we appointed 3 of our chiefs to sit down with the university to talk through details of the way the bill was structured. Included in that group was Chief Kearns, who is here today with us. In addition, Chief Ed Boyd from the Albany Police Department and Chief Terry Holderness from the Ashland Police Department. For us, the question wasn't if so much as it was how a university police department is structured, because in our work with the International Association Chiefs of Police, university police are a full partner. And as we've already heard today, they exist in states throughout the United States, and they work with our other police departments well and have for a number of years. There are 3 issues that we wanted to address in particular, and they've been brought up already by the committee. The first was that we believe that every officer needs to be trained at DPSST, should receive the full 16 weeks of training, and any mandated ongoing training required of any other police officer in the state. 2, we believe the supervisors of the department, those who lead the department, the chiefs of police, chief of police, and others also need to have the same supervisors and executive certifications that our other chiefs of police and law enforcement leaders also have around the state. Both of those are present in the bill. The third was the question Representative Tomei asked, and I believe the bill requires that police officers, university police officers as they're constructed in the bill, would be fully armed. And we feel like it's very important that police officers have all the tools at their disposal. I would just mention for a moment that, as you know, last session the OHSU was granted a police department. They were not required to be armed, and there have been subsequent issues as a result of that where the Portland Police Bureau has had to come in to follow up on incidents that occurred up at OHSU that they couldn't handle there because they were not armed. You can imagine with one of the busiest emergency rooms in the state, a lot of times any number of situations and scenarios can arrive there at the emergency room steps, including gang violence and other issues that just find their way up to that emergency room. And a police department that isn't armed can create a larger problem, because they get into a certain situation in trouble and then another police department has to come in to back up. And by then, it's a more complicated incident and requires potentially more use of force than may have been used originally if they were fully armed. So we believe those 3 pieces are fully envisioned in the bill, and we support it as a result. I would note there is a bill that was introduced this session, it's dead now, that would have allowed community colleges to create police departments. We do not support the idea of creating community college police departments for a number of reasons, but we do support this bill and believe that it is a university police department done correctly. And so with that, I think that the chief and Mr. Kyler could add to that.
Thank you, Mr. Campbell.
Thank you. Well, thank you for allowing me to testify. I'm Pete Kearns with the Eugene Police Department.
And the city of Eugene supports this bill, and we do for a number of reasons. Eugene has one of the highest property crime rates in the nation. We're in the 85th percentile for communities of 100,000 and larger. And the West University neighborhood, where there are 5,000 residents, less than 1% of whom own the place where they live, all the remainder are renters. This represents the most stubborn crime problem that we have in Eugene. Most of our property crime happens in the West University neighborhood. And it does because Oregon, as you probably know, has fewer police per capita than any other state in the United States. Eugene has fewer police per capita than most of Oregon. And we have fewer jail beds in our county than in most places. The national average number of jail beds for part one and two arrests is 59 jail beds for every 1,000 arrests. In Oregon, the average is 43 per county for 1,000 arrests, and in Lane County, it's 11. We have 11 jail beds for every 1,000 arrests, and property crime offenders are serial offenders, and so they go into jail and are released immediately and go out and commit more and more crimes, and they do that on campus and in the West University area. The additions, just the mere addition of 26 police officers to the inventory of police in Eugene would allow us to dramatically affect property crime. Having been in charge of the police work unit on the University of Oregon campus and managed that contract, I know that a police department there that is uniquely tailored to the community would be a good thing for the university. I also have observed that they have hired the right managers for their public safety and in their administration, and they are well postured to responsibly run a police department on the University of Oregon campus. It has been alluded that a number of speakers have alluded to the reality that in the United States there are active shooter incidents on university campuses, and this is a reality we are not well prepared for in Eugene. We know that during an active shooter incident, every passing second, these have been studied across the country, with every passing second a person is murdered or seriously injured. So it is critical that there is an immediate response by police, by armed police, to the place where the active shooter is located. And we know through having analyzed these incidents that it's a police officer normally that stops the crime. And with the Eugene Police Department responding on campus for all the many incidents that require armed police response, with the Eugene Police Department responding to an active shooter on campus, it would be required that we be guided to the location where the person is committing their violent crime. A far better situation would be to have a well-trained, properly equipped police agency on campus. For all these reasons, the City of Eugene supports the implementation and the presence of a police department on the University of Oregon campus that is administered by that university.
Thank you.
Co-Chairs Barker, Co-Chair Krieger, members of the committee, I'm Alex Kyler. I'm Lane County's Intergovernmental Relations Manager. I've submitted for the record a letter from the Lane County Sheriff's Office, a letter from Alex Gardner, the Lane County District Attorney, and will tell you that the Board of County Commissioners has also examined the bill. All three parties are in favor of Senate Bill 405. And do you know how many years it's been in Lane County since I've been able to say that all those three parties have come together? So that's a watershed event. I want to make three points that are in the letter, and then I'll be done. The first is that in District Attorney Gardner's letter, he makes a point about the university needing to fit into the public safety system, and he speaks to the need for not only the arrest but also investigations that lead to successful prosecution. And the benefit of having a police department in streamlining that process is important from his perspective. Sheriff Turner makes a couple points in his letter. One is that the university, obviously having more and more events, and NC2A actually requires an officer per 1,000 people at an event. So this, having the UofO have their own police department, should give them additional opportunities with regards to policing their own events, as has been mentioned. And finally, we're interested in the potential in Eugene and
and in Greater Lane County about having a police department on campus, in that it does bring, and it could bring, very well could bring, greater academic focus into the police department, the police department in Eugene and the sheriff's department for Lane County as well as Springfield, where you've got students now who actually have a greater ability to integrate into university life, get some education, some hands-on experience, some inspiration about public safety, and that may benefit our community in the long run. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Hicks.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I usually save arcane legal technical questions for Mr. Harklerode, but I provided no advance notice, who is astonishingly not here. He may be dodging it, I don't know. But because you're all on a work group, I'm gonna ask a question and then by no means feel obligated to answer now because it's kind of technical. But my what I'm wondering is this. You know, there is, I think, a difference in terms of the Fourth Amendment search and seizure implications between a police officer and a public safety officer. You know, transferring to a police department may or may not have implications along those lines. I mean, a campus is a unique place. Everybody is there in their own home, if you will, but they're also renting from the state, if you will. And so whose property is it? Who has the right to go in and search? Who has the right to, you know, there's a lot of weighty, meaty questions. And this is not probably, Harklerode would know what I'm talking about. But I wonder if this came up in the discussion, and maybe the chief, based on his experience, would be able to reflect on that. Is there going to be a difference now in terms of what the U of O Police Department can do in its search and seizure capacity versus what the current public safety officers can do?
Well, we've exercised police authority on campus for over 40 years, and so we have experience with that, and I'm not going to provide you with the answer right now because I'll be wrong. I'll learn later that I was wrong. But I do know that we've worked through all those issues, so the transition should not be significant.
So, yeah, Mr. Cowell, if Mr. Gardner or one of his representatives, if I could connect with him on that, he's probably vetted it. The question, I mean, this is a serious thing to consider. I just want to confirm that the group has considered this along the way. Thanks.
Representative Hicks, I'll make sure that I get a follow-up to you.
Thanks.
Okay.
Any further questions from the committee? Thank you, panel.
Thank you very much.
Next, I'll call Greg Marks, Mike Anderson, and Hannah Dissinger. And again, please, if you have written testimony, please just summarize it for us. Go ahead, please.
Co-Chair Barker, Co-Chair Krieger, members of the committee, thank you for allowing me to speak today. My name is Greg Marks. I'm a state board member of SEIU, and I've had the pleasure of working with several committee members on bills of this nature in the past. SEIU is strongly in support of this bill. We've attempted in past legislative sessions to advance our own bills on this, and we've worked with the committee on this. This bill, we see it as the ability for our members to protect our members on campus. They're not equipped, they're not trained to handle what we need to handle on our campuses. This also has a strict, our members that are our officers would be held accountable. They would be hired under guidelines that the state has for every police officer. They'd be trained. They would also be certified, which would then make our officers responsible to the community. Right now, there's no certification process. Anybody can be a campus security officer. And we don't think that's correct. We think that our officers need to be trained to the utmost ability and that we owe this to the students. These are our best resources of the state, and we need to protect them. I'm also an officer at Portland State University at Graveyard Shift. While I'm not here representing PSU, I can't answer any questions the committee has.
Okay, thank you.
Chair Barker, Chair Krieger, thank you for allowing me to speak. Members of the committee, for the record, my name is Michael Anderson. I am a public safety sergeant at Portland State University, but from the outset, let me state I'm not here representing Portland State University. Portland State University's stance on this bill is neutral at this time. There is no plans, if this bill passed, for them to implement it. However, since I've been working on this and similar bills since 2007, I thought it was important to bring a perspective from a different university. I'd like to echo what Chief Tripp said about the importance of having a police department on the campus that fits the values of the department, or ordered by statute 52-385, has gone as far as it can go on their campus. They've interpreted it as far as it will go, and it's not meeting the needs of their campus. At this point, there are only two ways that they can meet the needs that they want. One would be to return to a contract. As Chief Kern and Chief Tripp have said, the contract, though Eugene did a great job, they could not meet the needs that the university had cost effectively. So the only other option is to move forward with the university police department. Another important reason for adding a police department to the university and moving away from 352-385 is the problem of perception of authority. The last legislative sessions, it's been mentioned several times, the attempted murder of the two University of Oregon officers. I'm not going to retell that story. I'm sure the University of Oregon could come forward and give you more stories like that. However, I want to show you that this is not just an issue in Eugene, and I bring with me a story from Portland. The date was July 17th, 2009. Myself and another officer were working alone that night when a person came back to the car and interrupted a car break-in. The person got on the phone immediately with our dispatch and provided a very, very good description, and the other officer I was working with spotted the two suspects. As we moved in, the suspects started to run. My shift partner yelled at one of the suspects to stop. He stopped for him. The suspect I was behind didn't stop for me. As we were approaching the boundary for the university, I got on the radio and asked dispatch to please start Portland to assist me. Because of a technical glitch that night, Portland police were not immediately available, and our dispatcher, instead of being able to use the radio like he normally would, had to call 911 and wait in line in 911. While this is going on, I chased the suspect for 7 blocks, at which point he dumped the baseball bat that he was carrying and ran up a fire escape. Thinking that because he had just run 7 blocks at full speed and I had been chasing him in a car, he was probably out of breath and it was a good time to take him into custody. I caught up with him halfway up the fire escape and he turned around and advanced on me. I took hold of him like my training is and put him against the wall. With the hand that I couldn't control, he pushed off the wall and struck me in the nose, breaking my nose. This caused me to take hold of him and him to take him to the ground. Apparently he didn't like this idea, and as opposed to going to the ground, he jumped off the fire escape, taking me with him, and falling somewhere in the neighborhood of 10 to 15 feet. Luckily for me, we fell on my back, and my ballistic vest took most of the impact. It was my belief at that time, and it's my belief still today, that he was attempting to kill me. I also got lucky in that he landed on my knee and it knocked the wind out of him. I was able to crawl out from underneath him, get on top of him, and take him into custody. It was only at the point that I was putting handcuffs on him that I noted that my hands were covered in blood. I picked up the suspect, took him to my car, and it was only at that point that the Portland police arrived to assist me. At Portland State University, we can transport our own suspects, so I took him back to our office. In questioning of him, and this is the same for the suspect that hurt the University of Oregon officers, he told me he didn't think that I had the authority to arrest him, and that was most of the reason for the fight. His other reason for fighting with me was that he didn't think he would get in as much trouble if he fought with me as with a police officer. He's correct in that we don't fit the statutory definition of peace officers. This suspect ended up pleading guilty to harassment for the assault on me. Finally, we've heard a lot about what would change under Senate Bill 405. I'd like to remind everybody what fundamentally would stay the same. I believe that the university would still use its resources to problem solve its way through transgressions. One of the fears that students at my campus in talking about this bill have been is that if a police department were on campus, that everything would now be handled through the criminal justice system. There are a vast amount of resources and there are vast different ways that transgressions on campus can go. I don't see that changing anytime soon. What you're getting is a better trained and less ambiguous department, something that everybody on campus can understand. I appreciate the chance to address you, and I'm happy to answer any questions if you have any.
Well, thank you. We'll finish the panel first. Anna, please.
Thank you, Co-Chair Barker and Krieger, for having me, members of the Judiciary Committee. My name is Hannah Dischinger. I am a senior undergraduate student at the University of Oregon, and I'm here today to share some testimony with you based on my experience as a student leader on the University of Oregon campus. So first, a little bit about me. I've lived on the University of Oregon campus for 3 of my 4 years as a student. I lived as a resident my freshman year and then served as a student staff member, a resident assistant, during my sophomore and junior years on campus. So through that capacity as an RA, I worked pretty heavily with the Department of Public Safety, and then to a lesser extent, the Eugene Police Department. So I'd like to tell you a story about an experience that one of my colleagues shared with me about his experience. He is also an RA, and was dealing with an incident in his hall one night. And the incident escalated, and DPS was called to detain him for arrest. Unfortunately, the Eugene Police Department was at that time tied up and unable to come assist and transport that individual to be processed, and his resident sat in the hall in handcuffs for 40 minutes as members of his hall community walked by. And I think that it really shattered his hall community and made it hard for him to rebuild that. And incidents like that are not, I would say, common, but I think that they carry enough weight that they should be considered. So I guess obviously for me, one of the most important things about this bill is that it would increase response time and cut out the middleman on campus. As a student worker who worked heavily with that, it would have impacted my job and I know would positively impact future student workers at the University of Oregon. I think that making the Department of Public Safety a sworn police force would also increase competitiveness for strong candidates for the position. And people would see it more as a step in the right direction for their law enforcement career. I know a lot of students don't hold the Department of Public Safety in high regard. Some of that is just our campus climate, but I do think that the reputation would strongly increase on campus, and that would make them much more effective enforcement and also leaders and educators on our campus. Finally, I would like to just say that as a student on my campus, I've had a lot of conversations with people about this bill. I'm really interested in it, and so I've tried to follow it. And I found that a lot of students are relatively ambivalent about the passing or not of this bill, and I think that a lot of that is actually just out of the fact that they are not very well informed about it. I know that there's a fair amount of dissent towards the passing of SB 405 on the University of Oregon campus, but in my experiences, I've had conversations with people about this. The people who just aren't sure about it don't know very much about it and seem to be much more receptive to it once they have learned. So I give pause to people who are violently oppositional to the bill, because I do think in my discussions among my peers that they might be a vocal minority. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there any questions for this panel? Thank you, panel. Next, I'll call Drew Turhane, Michael Weber, and Sheila McGreary, I think. McGreary, maybe? And please go in any order, but remember, we are kind of jammed for time, but I want you to be able to say everything, but keep it as short and condensed as possible, please.
Good afternoon, Co-Chairs Barker and Krieger, members of the Judiciary Committee. My name is Drew Turhune. I am a senior undergraduate student at the University of Oregon, and for the 3 years in which I was eligible for the position, I have been a student staff member, a resident assistant at the university with University Housing. The oppositional rhetoric to SB 405 frequently expresses the desire to keep weapons off of our campus, and I feel that the people who advocate this oppositional point don't understand the reality that guns come onto our campus every day, carried on the person of Eugene Police Department officers. The value of the contribution that EPD makes to our campus is unquantifiable, and I am extremely grateful for what they have done for us in previous years. However, they have one of the largest cities in Oregon to protect, and they are facing the understaffing issues that every police department in Oregon faces. DPS officers are members of our campus community, and in my work as a resident assistant, they are indispensable allies, not only in keeping the community safe, but in helping students at the University of Oregon grow and learn. I am always impressed by their ability to reach out to students and to have the most positive educational interactions that they can. Our campus is a diverse and vibrant community of over 20,000 people. It's about a little larger than my hometown of Roseburg, Oregon. And I feel that a dedicated police force is an essential component not only to campus safety, but to the continued success of our academic mission.
Thank you.
Chairman Barker, Chairman Krieger, members of the committee, thank you and good afternoon. For the record, my name is Michael Weber. I am a student and a senior resident assistant at the University of Oregon. As a resident assistant, my number one concern is the safety of residents on campus and students. I do everything I can in my position to provide a safe environment for them. One of our most valuable partners in this mission of safety is our Department of Public Safety. I am constantly impressed by their responsiveness and their commitment to doing everything they can to provide nothing but the best for our students. I appreciate everything they do, and they do quite a bit for us, but I think we need to take another step and move to how we can best serve our residents. Our system now allows us to do a good job, and we want to do a better job. Senate Bill 405 will provide better training and better techniques for our Department of Public Safety.
Thank you very much.
Good afternoon, Chairman Barker and Chairman Krieger. My name is Sheila McGraw, and I'm a junior undergraduate at the University of Oregon, and I'm here to talk to you today in favor of Senate Bill 405. Having been a member of the student orientation staff for the University of Oregon this past summer, one of the main issues that parents brought to me was the issue of their child's safety on campus. They were letting their son or daughter out of their protection for the first time, and they wanted to be sure that their student would be safe. I would feel more confident telling them that their student would be safe if we had a sworn police force. As a student and representative of our university, a sworn police force would mean a more fully trained and professional safety force on campus. It would also lead to increased responsiveness and efficiency. Having been the victim of theft twice while having lived in Eugene, I think it is very important to have a police force that would allow for full investigations of thefts, break-ins, and other campus crimes. Students really cannot afford to have their laptop or bike stolen. And not having follow-up and investigations of these issues is unacceptable to me. I also work with the neighborhoods around campus and have come to realize that students are often targeted to be victims of crimes, including thefts. So further investigating this is really important to me. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any questions for this panel? Representative Tomei, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. McGraw, so the thefts that you suffered twice, were those on campus or in the
city? Those were off campus.
Thank you.
Thank you, panel. Next, I'll call Deb Pack, Malcolm Wilson, and Patricia Hansen. You go ahead in any order. Maybe you had. Just be railroad, identify yourself for the recorder.
All right, thank you. Chairman Barker, Chairman Krieger, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Deborah Pack, and I am a parent of a senior at the University of Oregon. I'm also a parent of a senior at OSU, but I'm also the parent of a student that was in her freshman year at the University of Washington when a shooter came on campus. This killer entered Gould Hall, a campus building with four floors of classrooms and offices. He proceeded to the fourth floor and shot and killed his girlfriend, who was a campus staff member. Panicked phone calls were made to the University of Washington Police Department, a sworn, trained, and armed force who responded immediately. Even though the Washington campus is very large and the buildings are difficult to locate, the University of Washington Police were able to respond immediately to the correct building. They already knew the best roads and shortcuts to get there. They knew how many floors the building had, and where the entrances and exits were. And they were educated as to the location of the offices and where people were most likely to be. This was possible because the campus is essentially the University of Washington Police Department's city. And the 65,000 faculty, students, and staff are their sole responsibility. While the Seattle police could have responded, there is no way that they could have gotten there as quickly or efficiently as the University Police Department did. Due to this immediate response, the loss of life was limited to the victim and the shooter. My daughter's dorm was located within a few hundred feet from the shooting, yet she and her dorm mates escaped essentially unscathed. Now I'd like to fast forward 4 years. The daughter that was a freshman in 2007 at the University of Washington is now my senior at the University of Oregon. I've always assumed that she was as safe on the Oregon campus as she was in Washington on that terrible Monday 4 years ago. but I recently found out this was not the case. I had always assumed that the University of Oregon Police Department was trained and sworn, which they are not. And while the Department of Public Safety has dedicated and hard-working officers, they are not trained and sworn as the University of Washington officers were. Therefore, my daughter is not as safe on her campus in Oregon as she was in Washington 4 years ago. In the event there is such an incident at the University of Oregon, why wouldn't we protect our students the same way that the University of Washington does, with a sworn and trained and armed police force that could respond instantly and effectively and with intimate knowledge of our campus, buildings, and students? As a parent, I urge you, the committee, to support Senate Bill 405. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Hello, Representative Barker, Representative Krieger, members of the Senate Judiciary Committee. The House Judiciary Committee, so sorry. My name is Malcolm Wilson. I'm a resident of the South University neighborhood, and I am the vice president of the neighborhood board there. We have been seeing over the last number of years a great increase in student population in the close off-campus neighborhoods, and this has affected the quality of life, livability issues in our neighborhoods. We certainly welcome the vibrancy of the students in our neighborhoods, but you can well understand the kinds of activities that are sometimes associated. Large numbers of loud parties in the weekends and litter and other such things that occur on a regular basis have taxed the patience of people in the close off-campus neighborhoods. At the same time, the kind of life that occurs in our younger population is not wholly beneficial to themselves, as other members, other people testifying here have indicated as well. They're subject to crime in a disproportionate degree. For these reasons, then, it is, I think, useful to have an increased police presence in the close-off campus. We, as a neighborhood, have been closely involved for 2 years with various agencies in Eugene, with the University of Oregon, with other neighborhoods, with the City of Eugene, with the police, with the Oregon Liquor Control Commission, working on the difficulties of livability in around the campus area. The university has been willing to play its part and has been a good faith partner in our efforts, but their hands have been tied by the lack of a fully commissioned police force. And this bill, of course, would help them do so. Our neighborhood is our neighborhood enjoys the active support of the Eugene Police Department, but their resources are very sorely taxed, and we contact them whenever we have problems, and they respond very well, but the resources are limited, and they would be much helped, and we would be much helped by a police force that is close to the campus and is responsive both to the student concerns off campuses as that population grows and with the frictions that naturally arise in the interaction between off-campus students and more long-term residents.
Thank you very much.
Good afternoon, members of the House Judiciary Committee, and thank you for the opportunity to speak to you today. My name is Patricia Hansen. I'm a resident of Eugene and also the parent of a sophomore at the University of Oregon. I'd like to echo a lot of the sentiments that were spoken before by, I'm particularly concerned to find that the public safety personnel at the UofO don't have the same level of training as police officers and don't have the same level of authority necessary to respond to emergencies. I think when parents think about safety concerns related to their sons and daughters being on campus, it is the types of events that were described at University of Washington and the shooter at Virginia Tech, and those unforeseen kinds of crisis situations that really scare parents the most. I want to know that law enforcement personnel on campus are equipped to handle whatever situation might arise, that they received best practice training, and that they know that campus inside and out. Also, going through the introduction for new parents at campus, they talk a lot about all the new freedoms that students have And I think a lot of parents are worried about their good kid making poor choices when faced with so many new freedoms. And therefore, they'd like to know that police officers really understand college culture and that they do have discretion when performing enforcement actions. Paying for school is a big responsibility. Again, at the parent introduction, we heard a lot about thefts of computers, thefts of bicycles. My son's a junior journalism major and just invested a wad of money in a Mac because that's what he needs for school. And if that were to get stolen, I don't know what we would do. But they warn us all the time that that happens. It bothers me that the campus law enforcement cannot fully investigate crimes at this time, that they can't receive search warrants or file cases. Property crime on the campus isn't Eugene Police Department's priority, nor should it be with the low staffing that they have. But that means that the odds of property being recovered and perpetrators being brought to justice is a lot less. So I think a campus police force would greatly combat this problem. It's my understanding that the costs of implementation of Senate Bill 405 are minimal. And I think given the option between a fully trained, fully sworn force equipped to respond to the highest levels of emergency, why would we opt for anything less? I thank you for hearing the bill and considering my testimony, and please support Senate Bill 405 to ensure the highest level of service and safety for my son and the staff and other students at the University of Oregon. Thank you.
Are there any questions from the panel?
Yeah, Mr. Chair.
Representative.
Just have a couple of real quick questions of Deborah.
Okay.
So you have a son, but you have a child that's at OSU as well right now?
I do.
Okay. And follow-up?
Follow-up, okay. Please.
Have you happened to notice what's going on there with the law enforcement on that campus?
He has not been as vocal about the fact that there are any problems on campus. He has noted the fact that they do seem to be there, that there do seem to be quite a number of them around. However, they are experiencing quite a bit of problems with theft on campus as well. It is well known with the kids that if you're bringing a bike to campus, you want a 50-50 chance of that bike disappearing, whether it's locked up or not.
Mm-hmm.
The kids have LoJack on all of their computers because even though they're very, very careful when they bring their laptops to campus, the chances of something happening to that laptop seemed, again, to be almost 50-50. And it's not because of the fact these kids are being incredibly careless with these items. It simply is that it's a target-rich environment.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of the community knows that this area has laptops, and it has a lot of electronic devices. And if you were a thief and you wanted to go somewhere that was target-rich, the university is one of the places you would go.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it is so terribly important that we have the additional policing and safety for our students to keep them safe and to keep their belongings safe. It costs us money, and it costs them money.
Okay, Representative Shoff.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. When I went to college, I got my bike stolen. And I got it back because in Iowa City, you had to buy a license for your bicycle. A concept we should pursue in this state as well to pay for many services.
Thank you. And I just have a comment. I had one of my daughters attend University of Oregon, lived off campus and rented from some salon landlord, and I made the house pretty burglary safe. But when she was living on campus, she had her bicycle stripped.
Mm-hmm.
The off-campuser, there was a problem with a non-student who was coming and decided he was going to move in to the front, and the police were too busy, mm-hmm. and old dad mm-hmm. happened to stop by, and I had a brief visit with the young man, and he left the area, so he didn't come back. So that worked out okay, but I graduated from Portland State in 1969. I'm a retired Portland police officer, and in recent years I was called there on a, they needed assistance, and they gave me the name of a bill, you know, whatever, some hall. I didn't have a clue where it was or anything else, and so it would have been very helpful, and their dispatcher had to call 911, and so we had this delay, and it just would have been much more helpful if they'd had their own up-to-speed police department there. So, okay. Yeah. I was asked if I was carrying while I was on campus. I certainly was when I was in the police department. Thank you very much, panel. And next I'll call Camelia Bayless, Carolyn McDermott, I think, and Mike Morrow.
Good
Please go ahead and end the ordinance and identify yourself for the record.
Chairman Barker, Chairman Krieger, and members of the committee, thank you. My name is Camilla Bayless. I live in the Fairmount neighborhood, which is east of the University of Oregon campus. I've lived there for almost 40 years. During that time, the neighborhood has changed in a number of ways. The families that grew up when I first moved in there moved away, and their lovely old homes became student rentals. Now we have a pretty high proportion of student rentals. Many of the students in those houses have not yet learned how to become good neighbors. This has resulted in late night drunken parties, vandalism, broken glass in the streets, skateboarding down the street in the middle of the night, and lots of other unbecoming behaviors. In some cases, it's sad but true that police intervention is the only effective tool for addressing those behaviors. The Eugene Police Department has been incredibly helpful in trying to respond to complaints about noise and rowdy parties that get out of control, but they have other priorities. Recently on our block, there were two out-of-control parties on the same day. Though the police were called, by the time they arrived over 2 hours later, the parties were over. And frankly, if a Eugene police officer is called to a stabbing on the other side of town, that's where they need to be. So giving the UO Department of Public Safety the ability to respond to such incidents would increase efficiency. It would greatly reduce response time, and it would allow for responses that are sensitive both to the needs of the students and to the neighborhood. Senate Bill 405, which allows the ability for universities to have fully sworn police officers, is an important step toward improving the responsiveness overall, and by extension, the overall well-being of the campus neighborhood and of the surrounding neighborhoods. My husband and I recently visited the new quarters located in our neighborhood, and we found them to be very well and thoughtfully designed. They're very well appointed. The staff members seem to be well trained and professional. In short, we were pretty impressed. So we do urge you to support the passage of Senate Bill 405.
Thank you very much.
Good afternoon, Co-Chair Barker, Co-Chair Krieger, and members of the committee. I am Mike Morrow, a lieutenant with the University of Oregon Department of Public Safety, assigned to the Professional Standards and Training Unit. I provided written testimony that should be before you, so I'll just summarize a few highlights. I want to thank you for this opportunity to share my thoughts with you concerning this legislation. I am in support of Senate Bill 405, which would give the State Board of Higher Education the ability to authorize one or more of the institutions under its control to employ and retain state-certified police officers. The Department of Public Safety is not recognized statutorily as a law enforcement agency to include the ability to receive information classified as law enforcement sensitive. This regularly prevents our fellow law enforcement partners from routinely sharing vital information concerning criminal activities on or around campus and those who perpetrate the crimes. The ultimate losers of this inadequate situation are our students, faculty, staff, and visitors. On prior occasions, the Department of Public Safety was briefed about a criminal activity that occurred on campus, and we were not informed at the time of the incident due to the direct contact with the law enforcement agency by the complainant due to our status. It is also common to learn of an edge-of-campus crime that was unreported to us that could impact the safety of our students, faculty, and staff. It isn't that our police partners don't want to share this information, rather they are prevented by law. Hence, ineffective workarounds are attempted to bridge this gap in the communications and information sharing. In my previous role as the FBI Supervisory Senior Resident Agent overseeing the Eugene Resident Agency's operations, I had established workarounds and or heavily redact important information in order to provide some details of intelligence that could impact the Department of Public Safety's mission in providing a safe campus environment. It was frustrating and uncomfortable, to say the least. With the successful passage of Senate Bill 405 through your support, the Department of Public Safety will be able to sit at the table with our law enforcement partners and openly share and receive relevant criminal intelligence in a timely manner. This communications tool, along with the authority as police officers to fully enforce all criminal violations, will result in a safer campus. I thank you for the opportunity to testify before you today, and I'll be glad to answer any questions. Thank you.
Co-Chair Barker, Co-Chair Krieger, members of committee. My name is Carolyn McDermott, Assistant Chief and Senior Associate Director for the University of Oregon Department of Public Safety. I testify in support of Senate Bill 405. I have 25 years' experience as a police officer for the cities of San Diego and Eugene, leaving there with the rank of lieutenant. For the past 3 years, I have worked at the Department of Public Safety, and I oversee all law enforcement services and functions. We are commissioned special campus security officers with limited authority, but we do police work. We're familiar with campus property and buildings, and we're usually the first on the scene for priority calls and significant incidents. We teach life skills, and we're responsive to campus priorities. The Eugene area has a high property crime rate, as already stated. We have a vulnerable population and assets. Opportunity for crime exists, and those that commit crime are drawn to our campus. Our officers are proactive, and as you heard, they've made nearly 200 suspicious persons and activity contacts per month on average, and 88% of the citations they issue are to non-students. They contact the same people that EPD officers contact off campus. They keep our campus safe. These contacts can be prison-savvy felons with violent histories, persons under the influence of drugs or alcohol, or persons exhibiting symptoms of mental illness. Many persons contacted are aware of my officers' limited authority and unarmed status. My officers are often challenged and sometimes must engage physically to gain compliance, resulting in assaults or injuries to them. While the more serious consequence of assault on a public safety officer applies for assault on police officers, it does not apply to special campus security officers. A contact is usually with the unknown, and once made, it is usually too late to disengage. Sometimes my officers are in a position of grave danger or lethal circumstances. In 2006, two officers were held underwater and nearly drowned in the mill race. In 2009, an officer contacted two intoxicated male subjects engaged in criminal activity, later discovering each had a loaded handgun. Luckily, no tragedy occurred, but it was traumatic for the officers, their families, and our public safety family. When I made the decision to be a police officer, I willingly accepted the solemn responsibility of placing myself in dangerous circumstances to protect my community. I had peace of mind that if I were killed or severely disabled in the line of duty, my family would be cared for through state and federal benefits available to survivors of fallen police officers. Additionally, due to decreased longevity and a high-risk profession, police officers in Oregon who are members of PERS are afforded early retirement and a higher multiplier of retirement benefit calculations. Certified Police Academy training, police officer line of duty benefits, and PERS retirement benefits illustrate the value our nation places on contributions of those that serve our communities. My officers are doing police work, but not entitled to these benefits as special campus security officers. You can imagine the problem we have with hiring and retention. I appreciate your attention to this important matter and urge your full support of Senate Bill 405 to ensure the Department of Public Safety is best able to serve our campus community at the University of Oregon. Thank you for the opportunity to testify before you today.
Thank you, Chief. Is there any questions? This panel, Representative Tomei.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I'm not sure if this would be for Ms. McDermott or Mr. Murrow, but Ms. Bayless, right, who lives in Fairmont. So if there were the situations that she was describing, the parties and the drunken and the glass, et cetera, I guess I should ask you first, do you live on campus, ma'am?
I live about 5 blocks from campus.
Okay. So since she does not live on campus, if I may follow up, would you be, if this bill passed and you were certified, et cetera, would you be able to go off campus to look at that situation?
Co-Chair Krieger, Co-Chair Barker, members of the committee, Representative Tomei, it might be through an intergovernmental agreement or mutual aid situation that we would go and assist on French campus or off-campus issues involving students.
Okay, but follow up. Theoretically, that wouldn't necessarily be students. They might be students, but it could be other people. So would the call then go to Eugene first? It would be a 911 call, perhaps?
It would initially go to the Eugene Police Department.
And then they might refer that to you. Right.
Yes.
Is that right? Okay. So the other thing you mentioned was PERS benefits. So that hadn't been mentioned in previous testimony, so I'm assuming that those benefits would go to all the employees under this bill. Is that correct?
Yes.
So I guess...
Police officers.
Right, right. So I would assume that the expense that the university is looking at would certainly be higher because of those benefits. Wouldn't that be accurate? Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Any more questions for this panel? Thank you very much for your testimony. Call Marilyn Lawrence, please.
Thank you, Chair Barker, Co-Chair Krieger, and members of the committee. I apologize in advance for my voice. Those of you who have heard me here before know that I am usually a little easier to hear. This is the best I've got this afternoon. For the record, my name is Marilyn Lawrence. I manage the Standards and Certification Program of the Department of Public Safety Standards and Training. You've heard a great deal of testimony about the certification of police officers and the role of the Department of Public Safety Standards and Training. And my purpose this afternoon in speaking to you is to confirm that among the many statutory changes that are in Senate Bill 405, the appropriate changes have been made to the definitions of law enforcement unit and police officer in the governing statutes for our agency, so that if Senate Bill 405 is passed, our agency would be able to treat those officers seamlessly as we do all other police officers in the state. Our fiscal assumptions are represented in the bill based on information that was provided to us by the Budget Office of the University of Oregon. And that is consistent with the information that you have heard today, that within the period of time of the fiscal impact, it is not anticipated that any officers other than those of the University of Oregon would be transitioning from campus public safety to full police departments. Based on that information, our agency believes that with these numbers, we should be able to incorporate the limited number of 4 or 5 officers per year into the current Basic Police Academy schedules. I'd be happy to answer any questions you have. This isn't painful. It just sounds wretched.
Thank you. Any questions for Ms. Lawrence? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And I'm going to call Andrew Rogers, Emily Russo, and Manny Garcia, please. Again, I'll ask you, please don't, you don't need to read, we'll read your information. If you could summarize it, it'd be appreciated. Thank you.
Sure. Hello, Co-Chair.
Good. No, go ahead.
Hello, Co-Chair Krieger and Co-Chair Barker and members of the committee. My name is Andrew Rogers. I'm a first-year student at the University of Oregon. I'm here to urge you today to vote no on Senate Bill 405 because it is fiscally irresponsible and it is not what students want. The cost to the university, should this bill pass, would include liability costs, increased benefits costs, and costs of arming the police force. Furthermore, there is no plan for beyond 2 or 4 years to cap expansion of the force, since the bill allows for up to 50 officers. Thus, costs could increase even more after that time. At a time when university students and families are struggling. We need to spend our university reserves and budgets on education and funding need-based aid rather than arming our public safety officers. At the beginning of spring term, the issue of converting DPS into a police force was put to a student vote in student body elections. 78% of the students who voted said that they opposed the concept of this conversion. So students across the state of Oregon through OSA have spoken, and we hope that you vote no on Senate Bill 405. I thank you for your time. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
I just would ask quickly, how many people voted? 78%, but you have a population, your campus is thousands and
approximately 25% of the student population voted, so around 5,000 or 6,000 students.
Okay, thank you.
More like 5.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Co-Chair Krieger and Co-Chair Barker and the House Judiciary Committee. My name is Manny Garcia, and I'm a freshman at the University of Oregon, here to speak about and in opposition to SB 405. We understand that there is minimal fiscal impact attached to SB 405 over the next 2 years, but at a time when we need to cut billions from the state budget, it is not time to be adding costs to our individual universities or encouraging the use of our reserve funds for arming our public safety officers. This bill has been introduced many times in different forms, and students have consistently opposed it. To be clear, I understand there is no fiscal impact for the next 2 years, but a student paying tuition next year at the U of O will be paying 70% more than the same tuition that a student was charged 4 years ago. When we ask for more funding, legislators ask us where we need to take it from, and in this case, we can say we don't encourage costs to increase over the 4, 6, or 8 years. Please think farther than our 2-year projected fiscal and help us prioritize what students need on our campus. For example, UO students wait hours for tutoring for math and writing. Students would prefer to see that these dollars are spent to preserve faculty members and keep tutors working 10 or even more hours each week. The Oregon Student Association would also prefer that we use this money to spend on increased funding for opportunity grants or other sources of funding that would allow more students to pursue higher education. I hope that the committee considers alternative means of spending this amount of money and thinks farther than the next 2 years. Thank you for your time, and I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you.
Hello, Co-Chair Krieger, Co-Chair Barker. My name is Ami Rousseau. I'm the student body president at the University of Oregon, but more importantly, I serve on the board of directors for the Oregon Student Association. I'm here to speak to you today on why the Oregon Student Association cannot support SB 405, and I urge you to vote no on SB 405. There are certainly benefits to this bill, but I would urge the committee to consider our current budget crisis. I don't have to tell you the extremity of the current financial crisis that our state is in. While we're struggling to maintain funding for our university, community colleges, and prioritizing need-based aid, this is not the year to be increasing our budget for public safety. Even though universities have reported that they can afford to cover the costs that we place on both for the next 2 years, there will still be many increased costs that will be placed on both taxpayers and students in the future. It is my understanding that there are no surplus funds available for the Public Safety Subcommittee on Ways and Means. We do not have excess funds to pay for training of new public safety officers. Yes, some of our public safety officers will be able to some public safety officers are former state police that can be retrained for a lower cost, but 4, 6, 8 years from now, individual campuses will be able to request more and more training. This bill allows for upwards of 50 officers for each campus payroll. We would prefer our elected leadership to focus on protecting the vital social services that are under threat of being cut this year. There are cheaper, more inclusive ways to improve campus safety. The money that the state and universities will spend could be going towards proactive services that the campus community would benefit from. The state of Oregon currently spends more on corrections than they do on education. This is an opportunity for our state to reverse that trend. College students need more counselors and mental health professionals, as not everyone can access the resources that they need. Lastly, there's a nationwide debate going on about how to prevent horrific crimes happening on our college campuses. Unfortunately, even when campuses have armed officers, it doesn't mean that they can necessarily prevent a shooting or major theft. Instead of funding for expensive guns, liability insurance, and future training needs, let's work towards a more affordable and accessible education in Oregon. Please invest in our education instead of increasing law enforcement that will add non-essential costs at this time. I urge you to vote no on SB 405. Thank you, and I'd be happy to answer questions.
Are there any questions for this panel? Representative Nolan, please.
I'll address this, I guess, to the to the student body president, and I'm sorry I forgot your name.
Omley. Mm-hmm.
Welcome. In the context of your survey of students, can you tell me what kind of forums or discussions you had on campus about this question?
It was a ballot measure that was put on the annual AOCO election ballot, and so it was, I would say, just in the context of the discussion that we've had all year, because the elections happened in the spring, we've been having an ongoing discussion over the last fall and winter. So it was also part of the candidate debates was a discussion about this issue. So we didn't have a specific form for this one ballot measure, but it's been one of the biggest issues at our university this year.
And if I might ask another question, thanks.
Please.
Thanks for that. Did you, in your role as student body president or someone else from the student government or someone from the OSA, participate in any planning that the university did to develop this bill? Did they invite you to sit down with them?
Yeah, I can tell you what I am involved in. I sit on the committee that is putting together the oversight mechanism for the department, whether or not this bill passes. So I'm currently involved in that. And then I have participated in or attended events that the Department of Public Safety has put on to answer students' questions. And those have been more kind of public forum types, not necessarily accepting active feedback for what students would really want to see on our campus.
And I just wanted to clarify that question. Those sound like after a decision has been
Yes. Forward.
What I'm asking is, did the student government, either you personally or others, or the student association, were they invited to the first discussions when this idea was just an idea and not a full-fledged plan?
I believe so. I think that it's been an ongoing conversation over the last 5 to 10 years, depending on where you start. But I believe that the university has included elected student leadership in discussions about this at every step of the way, in requests for more authority with EPD and other things like that. So I believe, yes, that we have been involved in the process. But again, for the last 5 years at least, we've had serious concerns.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Any further questions? Thank you very much for your testimony. That was helpful. Any further? Close the public hearing on Senate Bill 405. Meeting adjourned.